This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Data Science Association, or Persatuan Science Data, is the initiative of a group of senior academics and professionals from Malaysia and overseas. They share a common belief that data skills, the ability to extract data, to understand it, to process it, to obtain value from it, to visualize it, and to communicate it, are essential skills in decision-making processes in every area of human endeavor. You're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and we speak to three members from the association about their challenges in this sector. They are...
I'm John Tay. I'm an accounts administrator. I'm one of the council members of Data Science Association Malaysia.
I'm Halima, and I'm the president of the Data Science Association.
I'm Kumar Menon. I'm the secretary to the association.
And thank you all for coming on to the show. I guess we need to start by just how did the Data Science Association or the Persatuan Science Data all started?
Yes, sometime last year, 2017, we had an invitation from the Human Resources Development Department to set up a course for the educational sector that will be relevant to the future of the sector. And Dr. Halima and I had a chat about this, and we discussed with a few people as to where we should look, directions we should look at in order to see a new program that will eventually go into the universities. And it is then that we set up this idea about having a course, a program on data science. And for us from the university, it was interesting because data science was already changing the way in which research was being conducted, all forms of research, not just scientific research, but even research based on, in social science was changing, where previously people started with a hypothesis and then went on to look at the data to confirm the hypothesis. Now you are looking at data sets, and because these data sets were so large and you had new methods of examining or investigating the data, especially through machine learning, the examination of the data, the inquiries into the data gave you an idea as to how your question actually figured within the data set. So you actually now have transformed the whole process of research by first looking at what's happening through data and then formulating your hypothesis or formulating your theories rather than turning it the other way. Mm-hmm. So that's where we started. Dr. Halima is a leading statistician in this country. So she was the person, most qualified to do this and design the program. And Dr. Halima had a mentor in Australia,
Professor Don McNeil.
Don McNeil.
And how did you all meet? Did both of you all actually met and talked about this, Dr. Halima?
Yeah, he was my supervisor for my PhD. So then when we talk about this, it's like, spark his interest into this as well, because he's been looking at data that's available on the internet, temperature data, when you talk about climate change over the years and all that, and you can go back, far back to the 1950s, and this data are available for anyone to use.
So, Don came down. He flew down from Australia, from Sydney to Phuket, and we all met there. And we had a discussion to see, how we should configure this program. And he decided to do the first of those programs, which we ran over a week, really, which basically focused on the way in which we would apply data science in research. And we had about 30 people from the universities, most of them lecturers, some of them who were just pure researchers who came for this course. So that started
That was the first ever course.
That was the first ever course that we ran In data science.
Were you all already called the Data Science Association?
No, in fact, the Data Science Association came later. Not formed as yet.
And John, where did you come on and be part of the Data Science Association?
I was interested in the accounting and marketing aspects of data science because as an accountant, you're dealing with big data nowadays and you don't just look at the financial statements to make prescriptive and predictive analytics. And for marketing, it's also very important with data science because you're looking at being able to forecast the future using big data. So as an accountant and a marketeer, I felt it wise to actually join an outfit like the Data Science Association to keep abreast of the latest technology, All right, in managing data.
It's interesting because you would normally assume years ago that this is only for the IT sector,
right.
But now it's in marketing, it's in accounting,
yes.
And that's data science for you.
Yes, and we unconsciously engage with data science on a daily basis when you turn on your computer and click Google.
Yeah,
We don't think about it, but
what's behind Google is a massive data analysis system. That actually gives you answers. I mean, you know, one wonders about many things, but never stop to wonder about the fact that you ask a question and within seconds, you get 185,000 responses. You know, and that's the power of data science generally.
It's part of our lives that sometimes, I guess, it's just hard to really just take a step back and to ask. And like, you know, there are so many things that we do on a daily basis that actually is some part of data science and data analytics.
Yes,
it is. So when the name itself, Data Science Association, and you branded yourself as this group of individuals who are trying to champion this in Malaysia and bring this education level up, when did that happen?
Okay, let me answer that again. I mean, again, as I said, once we set the course and we saw that there was this interest within the academic community, at least, that there was a need to know more about data science. And we looked around and found that Malaysian government at that time had already embarked on a data science analytical center in Malaysia, that Malaysia would be the hub of data analysis for Southeast Asia or for ASEAN. So we thought that was, you know, a kind of a coincidence that spurred us on, and we said, perhaps we should form an association. And then we invited people to come and talk to us. We had about two or three preliminary meetings, and during those meetings, we felt that it was time to go up to the Registrar of Societies and form a society for data scientists to promote data science as well as to create a profession of data scientists in Malaysia. So that's how it started. As I said, you know, because we were the right connections, Dr. Halimah, in the university with statistics background. I'm a lawyer, and my background, I've been using data for many, many years, and I've always wondered about, you know, what actually transpired at the back end of these data analysis systems. So I was interested more from the outside, wide-eyed and very, very keen on learning more. Whereas Dr. Halimah and John, too, for a long time, have already been engaged in data science, have been applying data science more directly than I did as a lawyer.
And Dr. Halimah, what about you? You're obviously very in tune when it comes to data science. Yeah. When was like your first encounter with this industry itself? Because it's probably even before we...
Well, I've been a data user, you know, so without realizing... You know, without using the word data science, I've been a user since, you know, many, many years ago. And I think when we sat down in our earlier meetings, we knew that because previously data science, like, were only meant for the computer scientists. And then, you know, that's one part of it. And then the second part would be the statisticians or the data users who analyze the data. And the third part goes to where John is, which is the business, you know, the business part of it. Mm. So, I mean, my interest has been there for a long, long time.
And John, I guess it's for you, it was the same as well?
Yes, I think it was for a long time because Before being an accountant and marketer, I was also an academic, and I used it in multivariate data analysis. So actually, when you do your doctorate or your master's, you're actually indulging in it already without actually knowing that you're actually doing data science. And now, with the world moving towards that arena because of big data, it becomes a profession rather than just a skill that you perform as an academic. And as an accountant and a marketeer, you realize it's very important to be able to prescribe and predict and also simulate what's going to happen in the future.
Yuki, you mentioned that you were, for you, it was more of you were just being curious about how these things work and the why in all these questions, right? Do you think that is the major lacking of spirit that we have in the workforce today? This is not enough of curiosity within the workforce today that is the reason why, you know, we need to up our game in data science?
I think the absence of curiosity, and also because there isn't much engagement, you know, you don't get to encounter data science or its practices or its many wonders that exist.
Is it because it's a scary subject? It looks scary?
Because you say, the moment you say data science, it puts off most people. I mean, you think you have to be a scientist. Data remains as a kind of almost science fiction term. It hasn't come down to the real world of ordinary people going to work, taking a bus, or going to school. It is not, you know, so data, both the combination of the word data science, most people say, oh no, this is not for me.
Especially if you're like an accountant or marketer, unlike John, who's clearly, it was just part of his progress there.
Yeah. But, you know, the fascination with data is this. In the old days, and I'm old enough to tell you that, you know, I had to rely on a telephone directory when I wanted to look up someone's
surprisingly
number.
I know it too.
Yes. So, you know, and that is, you know, thumb through so many pages. Mm. Now you go into your computer, you type the name, and you get probably 15 other people with the same name, and you get with that kind of connection. And all of that really is the accumulated result of being able to convert information into a digital form, storing it, and then to have a machine to actually access that at a very high speed. So that's really all there is to it, except that when you're talking about information, it's vast amounts of information, and it's stored in so many different places in the world. And you have these mechanisms of the internet, and I'm no expert in that, that can extract this information in a flash and give it to you.
I'm here with Dr. Halima Awang, Uni Kumaran Menon and John Tay of the Data Science Association of Malaysia, and we'll continue in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Bulldozing fine measures. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Today we're talking about the importance of data science through the eyes of three individuals who are championing this push in Malaysia. They are Dr. Halima Awang, Uni Kumaran Menon and John Tay from the Data Science Association of Malaysia. Early on, we spoke about how some fear when they hear the terms like data science. So gentlemen, how have you all gone about in building this change of mindset?
Again, I'm sorry, the legends are already beginning to accumulate, you know, the stories within the data science, how it is being used as a method for discovering many mysteries. And the people are now beginning to see or have a better idea that there is something known as data science, which is very helpful, which can help you, you know, resolve your problems. So in that sense, I think the science is becoming more accessible, at least from the curious onlookers' perspective, such as mine.
But it's also the worry that if you don't know, you will be left behind today's workforce.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
I think there needs to be a concerted effort, not just by the private sector, but also the public sector, to get the whole community on board. And also, data science is beginning to evolve around other areas like artificial intelligence, blockchain, robotics. So it's a huge field, not just the management of data alone. So I feel that it needs to be a concerted effort, definitely.
What's the objective of this association? What are you trying to achieve here?
Three main objectives. One is awareness, and that as part of that awareness program, we are now talking to some of the data science authorities in this country to start a program for schools, both at the primary and secondary level. And that probably will be ready by the middle of this year, so that a program that is accessible. In advance of that, we are running a short program for teachers to introduce them to the idea of data science using the non-threatening approach. You know, again, as I said, you know, going through stories rather than trying to make them understand scientific theories or formula. So that is one of the first objectives that we have. Second objective is this, that we felt that in order to go into a field such as this, and this is already being done in other parts of the world, we need to create a group of people who are accredited as data scientists, and an association with the right kind of people within that, with support from, you know, internationally renowned academicians as well as data scientists, we can confer that accreditation to people as data scientists, and that will be an important element, so that the Data Science Association gives you status as data scientists. That will be the second and probably also the more difficult objective. And finally, what we intend to do is to create a series of programs, both instructional programs as well as general programs for people to understand data science at different levels, as I said, starting with the school. So there's the awareness, that is the professional aspect, and the third aspect is to create short programs that can be stringed up to form a qualification in data science. We started with the data science, data protection legislation, and how it applied to the education sector, and we have other programs.
Which kind of leads me to my next question, like, why don't we not see this in the education syllabus, whether it's, you know, your primary schools or even your higher education? Why isn't data science really embedded in every types of education forms of learning?
I don't know, because like in secondary school, they have got the maths, the mathematics, you know, which includes understanding data, you know, but it doesn't go beyond that, you know. And whereas a lot of schools have got computer and access to the internet, which, you know, which readily they could promote, you know, such understanding or, you know, advocacy on, you know, the importance of understanding data and on, you know, and all that. So I think, you know, we it took us a long time to get the association registered. So we're just like beginning to, you know, beginning to start moving, you know, in our efforts to you know, to promote this awareness. Yeah.
And hopefully then with some, you know, successful results from this, you know, achievement or this mission that you yeah. set out, we'll be able to then be, you know, be part of just the normal right. education system.
Yeah.
I have a more controversial view about that education. I think the way in which educational systems, not only in this country, but other parts of the world are structured, is that the formal education is very slow to move, to keep up, to keep abreast of the developments, particularly in areas such as this. Although it is very important that the young people who go to school are made aware of this. So there isn't a way in which the system is structured that would allow for such new ideas to be brought in at a faster rate than it currently does. So we need to actually, you know, what's the word? I think that is almost a hackneyed phrase, parachute into the schools these ideas from outside at an early age. Yes.
Or the the education sector just needs a disruptor, just like what we see in different industries.
Yes.
It needs to evolve, it needs to change. In Malaysia, it's about 60 years where it's probably the only sector that has not changed over the past 60 years or so.
Yes, and it's worrying because I would like to describe myself more as an educationist than as a lawyer. I've been teaching law for more than 30 years. And I think, educational systems are sleeping giants, you know, and they need to be prodded and to wake up. Because this is a giant, and the moment it wakes up, and its power will be realized. And I think that's where the future lies, in the ability to wake the educational system to respond more speedily.
And from your understandings over the past years that you've been in this industry, do you think we have enough people understanding, data science and have that ability to teach as well? Because that is also important because, it's one is to actually have students who are hungry for this, but the second part is to actually be able to feed them with the information and knowledge that we have. Do you think we have enough of talent here that's able to grasp this kind of knowledge?
We do have the talent, but I think I'm concerned with the industrialization and the commercialization of the talent and the ideas for innovation and creativity. I think that has a lot to be answered for. Because I think just rote learning itself is not enough. Mm-hmm. I think students have to be taught how to do their own research and come out with their convincing findings and solutions, which can be done then industrialized and commercialized to put the country forward and advance it.
Mm-hmm. What's next for the Data Science Association? And what do you have lined up for the year in order to achieve this objectives that you set up?
We have actually quite an exciting program for this year. John is very, he's an enthusiast. He's many ideas, and he's able to bring in ideas from outside into the association and for us to develop that. So the next area we're going to is to look at blockchains. I think the blockchain concept itself is a very interesting concept. When we started, we spoke about hierarchical societies. And blockchain concept at a conceptual level breaks that down, and it also allows for small units to function together as entities, without having to formally register as a company or a society. So blockchain is certainly something that we're going into this year. Apart from that, we will still be doing the data protection courses for a number of different sectors of the economy. And apart from that, what we want to do is that we're trying to get some people from overseas. There are some very interesting people who we know personally who are interested to come into Malaysia to look at the way in which data science is being developed, how its application is being developed in medicine, in education, and in various other forms. So we'll be having at least one big seminar on data science this year, apart from the fact that we'll be looking at these short training programs.
And for those who are listening to this who are keen to just find out a little bit more about who you guys are and what you do and also the courses that you have, where do they go for this information?
I hope they will all, contact us. And I'm sure there are many people out there who are interested in data science. If they can go into the website. And we are at www.datascience.org, and you'll find us. We're also on the Facebook, and and I think most universities would have information about us, and we're going to go on a poster campaign.
And you work very closely with universities for now, right?
For now, yes. Yeah. But we hope to actually branch out to reach even the SMEs and corporations in future.
And that is in order for you as well to keep in touch with what the industry needs, and you'll be able to feed them with what they want, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you very much for coming into the studio, and I wish you all the best, and hopefully we'll chat again next year and see how things have changed and evolved, because it is an ever-evolving industry space. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I've been speaking to Dr. Halima Awang and Uni Kumaran Menon, together with John Tay from the Data Science Association of Malaysia, talking about their mission and vision. And hopefully, in the future, we'll all be a data-driven nation. If you miss any parts of this show, you can download the podcast. It's available on the BFM website, or better yet, get the BFM app. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.